Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. What is the word? Welcome to this week's episode of Real Radio. That is Radio Established to Address Life. I am your host, Levon. Now, I'm not as enthusiastic as I usually am because I'm still recovering from a virus. I don't know what the hell it was. It was a common virus, the doctor said. But I'm asthmatic, so it got all on my bronchial tubes and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I can't go as hard as I usually go. That was not the reason for my absence last week. Actually, I was participating in a media panel last week, an independent media panel last week, and that's why I was not here. However, I was listening to the show as much as I could, whenever I could, and Brother Barry, Brother Rodney and the Queen did their thing with not only the topic but the guests and keeping the conversation moving with the roadblocks that were before us. That was not a pre-recording. That was not a joke. Our guest last week was actually incarcerated. He's still incarcerated. And that is a challenge to make stuff like that happen. But I tip my hat off to Rashi for being able to pull that off, because that was not an easy task at all. That was a huge feat. We talked several times before the show last week on the logistics of it, and she was like, "Yo, you know, can he call directly in?" And blah 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 blah. And we worked it out in the manner that it worked for all of us in order to have him on. So first off, I want to thank the guests from last week for joining as well, but also the vision that Rashi had for putting it together and pulling it off, because, again, it was no easy task, y'all. Trust me. We thought about it. We flipped it. We reversed it. We slid it. We did all kinds of things before the show actually popped off to make it happen. Yeah. So that's what's up. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I personally thought the show had a lot of, it was fire because it had, you know my motto, actionable information, information that you could take and use somehow, you know. And so one of the things that I want to express is how important his actual name is James Shelby Jr. is, but he's important in that in the prison, in the Missouri prison sentence system, he's known throughout it as the Colonel, okay? And so we're talking about a gentleman who we almost had to write like the quote unquote warden. He's in almost like a detention center, but that's like not prison, but not free, and it's not the halfway house. He would have to find his way to a halfway house in order to enjoy the freedoms that you and I enjoy, and that'll happen in August. But the point I was trying to make is we're not talking about just some regular dude who had went and did some heinous crime and just sat there and did his time and didn't do anything to improve the prison conditions. This is a man who does prison strikes, who brings Ramadan celebrations to prisons, who does prison newsletters. This is a man who's already started two or three incorporated organizations from behind the walls. You understand? And so getting him on, it was no easy feat at all. I've had to accept so many collect phone calls.
But then, in addition to that, just having him being able to speak for that long, uninterrupted, that was awesome. Nobody trying to kick him off the phone and nothing like that, That was awesome. That was awesome.
Oh, no, you don't get it. Nobody kicks the Colonel off the phone. He had a person standing in front of one. No, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. He had somebody buy another phone in case anything went down, funny with this phone where they get to click, click, click it and put in static or whatever. He was prepared and had somebody on standby on another phone to make a phone call just in case. You know, this is a gentleman who commands a lot of respect from behind the walls, and I thought it was important for people to know that if you are a person, or what they call now an influencer, I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean, but if you are an influencer, you can do it wherever you are, beyond the walls and apparently from the grave, right?
Well, again, that was something, and Rodney said this to me several times. He said, "Bro, I have never heard a show like that. I've never heard of a show like that." So he challenged me to do a couple things with it since, and I'll get to that. But again, I'm not, I'm still in recovery mode, so I'm just trying to get through it. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. It's been rough, and it's been rough because I've realized that my ass old. Like I'm not ancient, but I'm old. I just don't recover from anything as quickly as I used to, and I'm taking better care of myself at this point, to be honest with you. I have my daily vitamins and stuff, and I'm really on top of those, and I'm sleeping much better for longer periods of time. Am I doing the 3-4 hours? I pop right back up and do another 18 hours. Well, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm really getting a solid 7-8 hours of sleep minimum. I'm doing, maybe 8-10 hours of work maximum, and it's like, what the hell? But then I had to think about it, like, why am I not? Because your ass is old. That's what the hell going on. You old, dog. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, but it's the truth. And it's okay. It's a beautiful thing being on this side of life. And, titled the show today, Life on Cloud 9. Why? Because shit is lovely right now. I mean, it really is lovely right now. And the show is easy when we have all these warring factions going on and somebody did or said something stupid, like the little white boy down in Louisiana burning up damn churches, right? So, yeah, we can talk about that. Okay, we'll get to that. But if that was something massive, it was a huge conspiracy, yo, we could go on that for like an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half. And then you look up and like, oh, snap, there's only 25 minutes left in the show and we're done. Yeah, no, we ain't doing that today. We're just not doing that today. Because, to be real, life is good. To borrow from Nas, life is good. It really freaking is, man. Like, I had an extra day off this week, so I was off Thursday, Friday, and now this is my last day off. So Thursday, I cleaned out my truck. Now, let me explain something to y'all. And stop shaking your damn heads and looking at me like I'm half crazy. A car is a machine. As long as that mug runs, I don't give a damn what it looks like inside out. Meaning, I'm not the one that goes out here and wash my car every week. Hell, my car gets washed by the earth. The universe will rain on it. It will dry it. I'm good on that. I may wash my car once a year. The inside of my car, I'm a huge tree hugger. I love to recycle. So I get, you know, the plastic bags and the cardboard and the paper. There's a paper there. All that shit goes in my backseat. Why? Because I ain't got no little kids no more. So all that shit goes in my backseat. And once a week, I'll go in and I clean it out. I throw the trash where the trash is supposed to be. I put the paper where the paper is supposed to be, the glass, the bottle, all that stuff, because we have single stream recycling here. So I put all that stuff in the recycle bin, and boom, it's fresh for the next week, and we continue on. Now, there was a little problem with that. It got a little cold around here, and it stayed a little cold too damn long. And I've been working like a damn Hebrew slave. So I really ain't cleaned out my truck since, like, January. You know what I'm saying? And that's real talk. So I'm like, fuck. I'm in that mug yesterday like, yo. This shit has been here since the new. I had some popcorn from Garrett's that I picked up when I was in Chicago for the new year. That shit was still in my truck. Still in my truck. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a damn. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. That shit does not get on my nerves. Da 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 da. It's in the back. I can't see it. I can hardly see it. Yeah, I don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? But again, it was time. It was a nice warm day. I got in there. I got down and dirty, cleaned it up real nice. You know what I'm saying? And left it to where now I just got to figure out what I really want to throw away, because it's a couple winter items still in there, because, you know, we're still suspect to get a snowstorm, and I don't want to take all that shit in the house and bury it in the house, and then we get a freaking snowstorm in a week or two, and I'm like, oh shit, all this shit is in the house. So no, I still left the winter stuff in there, but I also have some of the spring stuff in there. So once I'm truly convinced that the winter is gone for real, I'll pull all that stuff out, and then, you know, she'll be really good, you know. But in addition to that, I was looking at purchasing another car, because I need to get out of this damn 6-cylinder and into a 4-cylinder that doesn't require me to put freaking premium gas in it. And in addition to that, I enjoy the fact of having a backup car. You know, I've lived with having one, and I've lived with having two, and two is definitely better than one. You know what I'm saying? So it's time to get another one. So I went to the bank and sat down with them, well, my credit union, went down, talked to them, and, you know, they were like, yo, you can just call and we can do this shit over the phone. I'm like, yo, that's thebomb.com. And then I'm thinking that my numbers were higher than they actually were. I started digging, and my numbers are not as high as I thought they were. So that's going to be even better to my favor when I finalize the thing and keep it moving. So I had a very productive week. You know what I'm saying? My brother's coming in town today, so I'm a peel off and hang out with he and my sister-in-law. My other brother's coming up from down at Joint Base Andrews. He's going to bring my niece and my nephew up, so that'll be awesome. So we have a little family time and stuff. My goddaughter hit me out the blue she was just like, Godfather, I love you so much. You just never understand how much you mean to me in my life. And that got me to crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, she's an awesome kid, man. You know, she's a 30, hold on. She's 35. Yeah. Yeah, she's about to be 36. So she's 35. She's an awesome young lady. She's doing her thing. You know, she's gone to school. She's making a way for herself. She's not always in my pocket, you know, every now and again. But she ain't always in my pocket. And, you know, she has a daughter of her own. And, she, you know, I'm so proud of her. And just that love just out the blue was like, whoa. Then I was talking to my brother down in Florida because he graduates in a couple of weeks. So actually I'll be in Tampa the first weekend in May. So the show will be coming out of Tampa the first weekend in May. And, you know, we were finalizing all those plans. But then my cousin lost his dad, you know what I'm saying? But even in that, it wasn't like the world all fell apart, you know what I'm saying? And talking with him, he was like, yo, I knew it was coming. It's hard because I miss my dad. I love my dad. But I knew it was coming. I was prepared for it. And I'm going to take it and do with it the way it's supposed to be done. And, you know, just watching him move and listening to him and just thought, life is good, man. I mean, life is good. When you see folks executing plans that you've been talking about forever, meaning having life insurance, having a will, you know, just take handling their business, just straight up handling their business. It's awesome. It's just fucking awesome to sit back and be like, yo, as the kid that grew up in the PJs, whom scrapped and scraped, especially toward the end of the month, you know what I'm saying, especially during the summer months, because, you know, you're home all day, so you're eating more. And stuff like that, and just to see life as it reveals itself to you now.
But see, this is the thing that we were talking about in the past, bro. We said, when we want to see this kind of change in our people, we could only do it if we take that mentor, mentee, student, teacher role with each other. And why do you even know to look out for whether or not your loved ones have insurance, whether or not they're accomplishing the goals that they, not that you told them they wanted, that you wanted to do what they told you they were going to do. This is the important thing. People are telling you what they want to do. Are we holding them accountable by supporting them? Are we holding them accountable with our support? You understand?
Right.
That's how you do it. You don't stand back and wait on people to do this astronomical stuff they say they're going to do. You help by saying, all right, well, yeah, you need some flyers. All right, I'll invest in some of these flyers or whatever. I'll pass them around. When I go to the grocery store, I'll stick them by the place where they cash their checks or whatever.
Right.
I'll do that for you. Let's do this. That's how you mentor people, and I'm so happy that you get to see that manifest itself. I'm watching a few family members of mine and a couple of friends, you know, things they've told me over the years that they would like to do, and I'm like, well, hey, if this getting a driver's license, come on, I'll run the driver's book with you. You know what I'm saying? I know two or three empty lots you could practice in.
But yeah, man,
battling her addictions, bro. But it's our mentor relationship, and what you're saying is, all right, are we going to grab one or what? Did you get grabbed by these people, the cousin's dad? Is he somebody who taught you something? Are you teaching the 36-year-old cousin something? You know, do you see in your work manifest?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, with my goddaughter, it's Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm always in her ear. And even when I'm not in her ear, and that was the beautiful part about her reaching out to me, because she was reinforcing that. She's like, yo, even when you're not in my ear, you're in my ear. You know what I'm saying? I listen to what you say. I pay attention to what you post. I I watch your tone, you know. Yeah, so she's picked up on a lot of stuff, man, and those seeds are just the bomb to see now growing. So yeah, it's amazing. It really is, man. Because again, you know, seeing so much dysfunction at the early part of my life, and seeing so much calmness now, so much purpose now, so much, so many things that are within direct grasp now. Just the relationships that I've forged, not only with classmates or neighborhood friends, but people that are influencers. You know what I'm saying? As you said earlier, people that are influencers, people whom others look to and say, oh yeah, I want to be like, oh, I like the way this person, that person moves. And having those relationships with those people and not having the name drop, since I don't need to do that, because nobody needs to know about that but us. You dig what I'm saying? I saw a friend recently, and she wasn't looking focused. And I thought there was some torment there. Later on, I come to find out that that wasn't the case at all. But I didn't blow her up, and I didn't call her out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say anything about that on the show. I still haven't said anything about that on the show, because you still don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know the other half, so there's not even a clue given to who I'm talking about. But that's just not my style. You know, not at all. That's never been my style. You know what I mean? You don't need to know who I know. As you say, you still trying to figure out what I do.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Who you with?
Speaking of, so the independent media forum that I went to, nice. It was very nice. It was about creating an atmosphere in which we got together and said, I love what you're doing. Can we do something together? Let's not forget that I do that too. So if you need some additional support, I'm here for you. If you don't know your way, I'm here for you. If you know you're doing something that's huge and you can't manage it all by yourself, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. Let's do this together. And there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, that was lovely, to be honest with you, because you, in that room there were people from print, video, audio, like we're doing right now, that came together and discussed what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how we can potentially keep this thing united and push it forward, right? Going back to something you said a couple of moments ago about the mentor and mentoree relationship, really that's what it was all about. Sometimes we get in this thing called life and we step on the direction that we're not sure of, but we forget that somebody else did the same thing before us. And not knowing how to reach that person or be comfortable enough with reaching that person, we go at it by ourselves. We got to. Why we got to? Yo, check this out. I need help. Are you willing to help me? Yes. Oh, thank you. Guess what? That just made this whole journey hell of a lot better for me and you. hell of a lot better for me and you. Because
not
now,
just better, but sometimes possible. Like, I don't know how much people understand the concept of symbiosis. There's truly the statement, no man is an island, is true. You can't accomplish anything by yourself. You,
right.
One human can do absolutely nothing. You can barely even masturbate
right.
without thinking about images of somebody else created or some whole other person. You can't do nothing without other people. And so until we understand what symbiosis is and that how nothing, we won't do anything without other people. We'll stop hoarding what we think is power, hoarding success, hoarding accomplishments based on our fear that somebody might do it better, faster. That's exactly how it's supposed to be done. The thing calls energy to itself. If a movie is supposed to be made, right, and it's in the idea of one man, it has to be in the pockets of another man and the acting skills of a whole nother man. You understand? But that idea calls these people, calls that money, it calls that energy to itself based on whether or not it's a true or righteous cause. Now, all I'm saying is, all y'all did is accept the fact that y'all can't do nothing without each other. Print what? You can't print nothing without a writer. Write what? You can't write nothing without the art. Art, like what? There is no art without music. Music, like, you understand? It's all
right.
So interconnected that until people accept, I ain't doing shit without them. I can't even move forward. I'm not doing anything of importance unless it take about four or five other people to get it done.
I like that philosophy.
Until we accept it, we got to accept it. You have no power alone. And I know it sounds humbling or like I'm not being, you know, like I'm killing people's whatever. But alone, just one human, can't do nothing. Barely get, you can't even give birth. That take another baby to incite the birthing process. You can't. So let's get with the idea that every day we enlist people on our causes. We get enough people enlisted to stuff we think is important and true. That's how you become, I believe, maybe, an influencer, right?
Yeah, that is. That is. But, you know, it also takes someone to accept that help. Not only to give it, but also to accept it. And or to ask for it. You know what I'm saying? So it was lovely, again, to be around like-minded people who were like, yo, let's do this. Let us do this. That was 100% awesome. So that's what last week was about. I'm laughing because I'm replaying last week in my head because I got a lot of crap talked to me when Duke lost to Texas Tech. But and I know this isn't your wheelhouse, but I need to get this out. And we've talked about this before. So Kevin Mason, may he rest in power, passed away a couple years ago on his way back from Afghanistan. Kevin Mason and I were stationed in Korea together. I'm sorry, the UK together. And he was a huge and remained a huge University of Virginia proponent to the end of his end of days. I was asked after Duke got knocked out whom would win the national championship, and I clearly say Virginia. There's no way that Virginia does not win the national championship now that Duke is knocked out. And I was asked to stick up or provide evidence for that statement. And I said, yo, just think about it this way. The way Virginia slows people down is nerve-wracking. Their half-court offense efficiency is off the charts. How do you stop a team whom is going to get on your nerves at any and every turn, yet is so efficient in the half court that no matter what you do, no matter how many runs you make, they're just going to come back down and score another basket. Like, that is so deflating. I thought the game was going to be a snoozer. Not even going to lie. I thought it was going to be in the 50s. I thought it was going to be 50-something to 40-something or 50-something to 50-something. I thought it was going to be a snoozer. Never in my life did I imagine that this game would be in the 70s and it would go to overtime. Never in my life did I imagine something like that was going to happen. However, I did imagine and call precisely the outcome. Now, after my team was eliminated, then it fell to strictly conference. Virginia's in the ACC conference. Duke is in the ACC conference. So I got to give a big ups to the University of Virginia for winning their first national championship in men's collegiate basketball. And that's all I'm going to say on that ever in life again. Because we beat y'all asses twice, and if we played you again, we would have beat you a third time. So I'll leave that at that. In other sporting news, my Orioles are getting their asses kicked left to right, right and left. But that's okay. It's a young team. Rashi, you're into no sports whatsoever. Just absolutely none.
Okay, I mean, I can. Okay, here we go. I can watch it. I get the. I'm a game theorist, right? So I watch. I'm about game morale. I'm about the attitudes of the players in the moment. But I'm not a sports stats person. So the excitement of when a record is going to be broken or when somebody is going. But I'm big into seeing how, like, with the faces of the team players and see whether or not they in the game. I'm really big on coaching attitudes. I like to see the various attitudes of coaches. I think the Pat Riley method was the best, kind of a calm, not so cantankerous person, I think can get a lot of work done from people, you know. But if I had to pick a sport, they say, damn it, pick a sport right now. It would probably be mixed martial arts. I'm really big on man-on-man combat. I know it has some homoerotic undertones. Don't even go there. I'm just saying that I appreciate one man up against, or one human up against one other human in a battle of skill from hand-to-hand combat. I think that's pretty sweet. If I had to pick a second, it would have to be football, only because I'm interested in seeing some money get shuffled different in football. In MMA, a black man to get his actual money, he's a fighter unto himself, right? But he's technically his own boss. He might have a manager / trainer, and then he gets his own endorsements. But in football, all that money is at the top, and they sprinkling like crack crumbs down on the players who are ramming their head up against each other. And it's kind of the same thing in basketball. And so I'm interested in seeing some money shifts with basketball. I'm interested in seeing people like LeBron do some more open schools. I want to see what they do with that money.
Well, you have plenty of opportunity. I think you have more opportunity in basketball to build a brand. I think it's more difficult in football and definitely in baseball because the viewership in baseball is not – in football, it's still about the team. Now, you can break out and be a star player, but it's still team first. So no matter whom you are, it's still the Miami Dolphins or the Dallas Cowgirls. I'm sorry, did I say that? Yeah, I said it. And then, you know, the Washington football team or the Minnesota Vikings or whomever. The team still reigns supreme, and then the individual will come out.
There's no talk. There's no talks of a team-owned franchise. There's never been talks of 45 football players who create their own team.
I think there has been talk, but I don't think folks are long-sighted enough to understand the ramifications and the implications. Meaning, okay, so Mr. Jones, Jerry Jones, we'll take the Dallas Cowgirls, is cutting me a check for $100 million, this person a check for $75 million. But remember, all that money doesn't come out at once, right? So that money's leveraged over years. So really, you may get $20 million here, and the next person might get $30 million there, or $15 million, or $11 million. So those small bits, even if you combine them, may not actually be the worth of the team, because the team is worth billions. If I'm wealthy enough to cut you a check for millions, then obviously I'm sitting on billions. So the team is worth billions. So you add everyone up on the team and you may get $1 billion at the fruition of all of their contracts. All of their contracts. You know what I'm saying? That's a long ass time. You know what I'm saying? That's a long ass time, man. You know, because those contracts could be structured for 7 years or 5 years. And again, this is over that span. So, you know, can we really get together and say, yeah, I want to buy this team now? Do we have that kind of capital now? Not really. And I don't know how you would leverage it, reverse it. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, so
well,
you promise.
Here's the deal.
You know,
tell them
you're
not playing for them. You play for you. Oh, there's insurance to cover
right.
all that, and that's part
right.
of the package.
But
you tell somebody
saying,
you play for you, and you're going to get a ridiculous amount of – man, do you know what kind of team that would come on that field if they knew they was playing for themselves?
Right, but I'm saying, yes, there's insurance that handles that, but if you get hurt, that contract is pretty much null and void. So you may have signed for – $75 million with $30 million guaranteed, but you get hurt in that second year, so you get the $30 million, but the other $45 million is out there in the world. The insurance is only going to cover about $10 million, so the team still gets to bank $35 million of your salary. So that's $35 million right back in their pocket. Period. You know what I'm saying? So that, I don't know how they would really put their monies together in order to do that. To be honest with you. You know, it's possible. You know, anything's possible. It's probable. But I don't know. But that too indicates some sacrifice, because somebodies are going to have to put up a big chunk of their salary in order to make it happen. And though it could happen, and it could happen in fairly short order, you know, a lot of these cats are going to have to live differently for a minute. You know, a lot of these cats can't live like Kawhi Leonard. A lot of these cats can't live like, what's the boy name that just retired? Gronkowski. You know, Gronkowski was living off his endorsement money. He didn't touch a dime of his NFL money. That dude was smart. You know, Kawhi Leonard, same thing. Kawhi Leonard lived off of, I forget what the article said, but he set himself like a regular dude's salary, and that's all he lived off of. He drove a fucking 1997 Expedition or some crap like that, and that's what he was pushing. Man, most of these cats ain't living like that. The first check they get, they trying to go out here and buy a damn Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Most of these cats ain't thinking like that, man. They get that paycheck in their hand, it hits their account, and they go buck wild crazy. They want to just blow and flow. They think they all supposed to get a G5 or a Lear, or, you know, they supposed to have the biggest chain from Jacob, and they supposed to have the 8-bedroom house with the pool and the jacuzzi and the suite outside, for the in-law suite outside, and, you know, freaking house is $12 million. They making $4 million, thinking they gonna be able to pay it off in 2-3 years, not thinking that, you know, they're going to get hurt and not thinking about taxes and so on and so forth. They ain't thinking. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, nah. Nah, dude. Mm-mm. Nah, sis. These cats, man. And not all of them, but it's a whole lot of them. It's a whole lot. It's reminiscent. I was thinking about this after breakfast this morning. I was thinking, like, so going back to what we said about, well, what I said about 10, 15 minutes ago, so a little longer than that. Shit, we've been talking about our, when I talked about the black churches burning, right? Notice how the black church has been quiet about the black churches burning in Louisiana. Al Sharpton ain't been on TV talking about that. He ain't. He ain't called for no boycott. Jesse ain't said nothing. TD ain't said nothing. Cleflo damn sure ain't said nothing. Jamal Bryan ain't said nothing. These jokers aren't on national news every night talking about how this is a travesty. Wow. Money. Money. When the government, when Bush put forward, and, you know, we've talked about this before, but when Bush pushed
what
that faith-based initiative.
The dude went viral. The guy went viral for that statement. He said, why the white, he didn't even say black preachers is quiet. He said, why are white preachers so quiet about the burning of black churches, right? And so when after he went viral right there, even though the post is being shared a lot, you don't hear no commentary at all, you know, from I'm gonna admit to something that most people, you know, even though I'm not for real a believer, I'm actually a non-believer. I still watch the little imp looking dude from the 700 Club. I still watch CBN News. I watched a little bit of it because, for one, the Christian broadcast news do segments that the Associated Press would not sanction. You can get information from the Christians that you just can't get from regular news. And then, secondly, I just like to see where their head is at when what they call evil, when they come up against evil. You know, where their head is at? What do they think is the solution to, you know, people leaving their babies in cars while they go to the bar and get drunk? And, you know, people setting their grandmama on fire in their house so they can get the check. And what is their solution to people burning churches down south? You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, you can hear roaches fart over what white pastors have to say about tormenting black people from because they know that some of these tormentors come from a Christian based program, the KKK, what they call Christian nationalists or whatever. Those are heavy faith based organizations. And what you don't do is slap the face of your flock. Well, you know, and they know they got some hate mongers, I call them, among their flock. But they do not. They cannot preach anti-hate doctrine, or they'll lose their tithes.
And you know, everybody wants the money. Speaking of hate, Ohio is the latest state to pass a heartbeat abortion bill. Now, this happened, I want to say Thursday. So, And the transition to hate is around women's control of their body. Why are these folks so focused on being able to tell a woman when, how, and where, or by what method she can conceive another human? I don't get it. I just don't get it, yo. First off, it's too many men sitting at tables trying to make these decisions. And I truly believe that. Like, there's too many men sitting at the tables trying to tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies. Like, that is so not flipping cool. Secondly, the law of the land is Roe v. Wade. Why, at every turn, are you all trying to overthrow the law of the land? I don't get it. I don't get it. Help me, Roger. What is it about?
My niece is so silly because she was like, you know, when they get through doing all that commentary, well, it's the equation is bad. One, I was just saying that if she wants the baby and he don't, the baby won't exist. But if she wants the baby and he don't, she having the baby, right? But if she
correct.
Don't want the baby and he do, she still don't. The option for a man to raise his child alone is, to me, not an explored opportunity enough. I'm not anti-abortion. I really, personally, I think black people need to stop because we've been here 400 years and we still less than 15, 13, or even some say 11% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And we are an ignorable number of the population is what I'm saying. And until we stop killing and have some more of these babies, it's not going to work. You know, we ain't going to be able to press our issue with this country the way we should without the numbers, the way the Hispanics do. Anyway, what that and coupled with some of these women need to consider giving birth to children and handing them to their daddy, handing them straight off to their daddy. I mean, you know, yes, there is the inconvenience of pregnancy and there is some kind of, anxiety with handing your children off to other people. But if you say, if he wasn't your attacker and you say, no, I'm not ready for a baby right now, and he says, but I am, that's half of me and I'm ready for the baby, the option of him, of him getting that baby after birth should be on the table.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, my niece said, she done told all her gentlemen friends that if they slip up and get her pregnant, they will officially be single fathers.
I like that.
And whoever do it, she's going to have a string of single fathers around the world, and they're going to be so caring and loving to her babies out there in the ether. But anyway, so the attitude women have towards being homemakers has shifted so to where we arguing with people about whether or not we should, they should control our reproduction. But if you say you're going to give me a fairly decent job that's so high paced I never have time to lay down with my husband or my mate or even give me some dick on the side, coupled with the fact that most of the men are incarcerated, you know, and those that aren't have mental issues, and those that don't are on some kind of dope. Hell, you don't have to worry about me using my coochie for ill-gotten gains. Society has already provided all the birth control a woman would ever want. So by the time she does get pregnant and she has to decide whether or not to keep it, the only incentive I could think of is population fairness. Other than that, we finna topple 8 billion people. Who we talking? We missing a person at 8 billion people? We waiting on the next plague so that we can sustain on this planet. If we don't have a population, we need a pandemic.
New babies you talking about?
No, we need a pandemic of disease in order to wipe out most of the people that's on here just to even discuss what the ramifications of having an abortion would even be. It's too many people on here on the ride to even argue about another person.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I thought we talked about an article a week or so ago saying that the birth rate in the United States needs to actually pick up. Now we're not having enough children. Real talk. We're not having enough children in America. In the United States of America, not enough children are being born to maintain our society in the near future. Yep, you know, people waiting longer and longer to have kids. And some of them waiting too long. They're like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, look, I'm telling y'all now. I ain't going to lie. I told my kids, I said, look, you know, 28-30, that's your window. You want to do it after you get some running time where you gallivant around
Wait,
the world.
Wait, you
gave
your kids a 2-year window of having children from 28 to 30?
Yeah, that's what they're like.
Not even. They got 2 years to get with their breeding program, 28 to 30?
Listen here. 28, 30 max. That's what the hell I told them. I said, you don't want to have them too early. You want to give yourself an opportunity to get out here, live, breathe, you know, do whatever you want to do, go to chase whatever concert, whatever star, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you need to have a kid by the time you're 28. No later than 30. That was what I said. I didn't say between 28 and 30. I said you need to have a kid by the time you're 28, no later than 30. Because you don't want to have some little monsters running around and you too damn old to chase them. Nor do you want to be too old really to relate to them. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to be too old as they're still coming up in age. You sitting around like, yo, why the hell I wait so long to have y'all asses? I'm supposed to be chilling right now. You don't want to do that either, because that's undue stress and unfair stress to the child or to the children. So, you know, again, maximum 20, you know, on your ceiling, you want 28. Your absolute high side is 30. Your absolute high side is 30. You know, having children when you 38, 39, 40, come on, dog.
And
when was your first
child? How old were you when your first child was born again?
Well, we'll need to talk about that. We'll need to talk about that. But I was a hell of a lot younger.
No,
I like
for people who pass, sages who pass out that hot advice, to be able to show a personal example of how they.
I was still a teenager.
Huh?
I was still a teenager when my first child was born. I was still a teenager.
And what's the relationship like with you? And what's the relationship like with you and the child you conceived as a teen?
Oh, we good. We good. Is that little motherfucker? That's the youngest one. That little bastard. Good lord. I don't know what's wrong with that little motherfucker.
So here's the deal. I tell people all the time, because I've had a couple of women come to me and ask, should I keep it or should I not? And I tell them there's a trifecta. There's time, there's money, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, like the quality of the matter. And sometimes you can spend a lot of money and time on some shit that don't matter. You can spend a lot, you understand? So, and most people don't understand that they waiting on the trifecta to rain down, and it just doesn't ever happen. You will either have time and quality time to spend with your children and be broke as hell. And it can be done.
Mm.
Or, you know, you can have the money and you can have some good stuff that you can involve them in, but you don't have the time to do it with them. The thing you do to earn that quality money, it soaks up your parental. You understand? You will never have the trifecta. And if you wait, you're saying is, you won't have children.
Let me tell you something. I'm watching I think it's called the Red Table Chronicles with Jada Smith, her mom, and Willow. And they had the dude Wale on and another guest. And Wale said, I think he's Nigerian. He was like, yo, I can truly count on my hand how many times my mother and father told me that they love me. And that I never understood how big of an impact that had on me until now. I think he said, I'm 30 now. And he said, really, until now, I never really understood how much of an impact that had on me. And I'm just unpacking that now. And to your point, you know, going deeper into the hole with you, you're absolutely right. It is that trifecta. It's like, yo, you can be so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. And you don't want to do that to your children. You know, that's why I said, you know, go out here, do your thing. Go to school, go to work, whatever. Stack your chips. You know, run your schemes, run your adventures. You know, when I was coming up, it was Freaknik, and it was a Stone Soul Picnic, and it was this and it was that. Yo, run your schemes, run your adventures. But, you know, hopefully you'll get to that point where you're about 24, 25, you start looking up like, this is getting old. You know what I'm saying? 26, you're like, yeah, this is really old. Let me do something different. So by the time you're 27, 28, you're like, yeah, it's time to have a child. Like, I want to build something. I'm ready to have a family. I'm ready to incorporate some other pieces into my life and make things happen. So, yeah, definitely. You know, how old were you when you had your first child?
We're going to be talking live birth, right?
Well, whatever.
My first live
either
birth.
Either way.
Yeah. Now.
No, either way.
My
seriously.
Yeah, the first time I was pregnant, I was 17 going on 18. And I was pregnant by a gentleman who what I would call is a failure to thrive gentleman. He had barely passed high school. He was a calm, gentle soul, but he was not an academic.
What is up with you and these illiterates? Why is that your forte?
He was very low on machismo. He did not sell dope. And I was in a time when grandmas were selling dope. And so what I realized is that I had a list of things that I wanted to accomplish. And he didn't even know the words on some of the list. And I was like, I cannot drag you to Brazil with me while I write my dissertation. So when he realized that the reason why I didn't want to give birth to his child was because I thought he was going to limit our, you know, capabilities, you know, he got real mad. And so I just was, he gave me the go ahead to handle business. All right. The next birth was my daughter. She's a beautiful 23-year-old lady born in wedlock. And, you know, but her father was no more literate or engaged than the man before. So technically, I should never have gone down that road because I've never been with a man who actually fully committed to his children, ever.
But yo, again, what is up with you and these illiterates? Like, that is your MO. Like, do you go to the library and
Pardon.
Just...
My ex-husband is an integrated power engineer. Now, he's emotionally illiterate, yeah. But academically, he's pretty sharp.
Oh, okay. All right, because, I mean, every time you talk about, you know... Is that the one you try to kill?
Yeah.
Why you get so?
Because you're saying it like you know, you're saying it like it's a real thing, but it's not a real thing, you know.
What you mean?
Trust me, I don't
thing?
Try to kill. I either kill or I don't. I don't try to kill.
Hold on. Do you have charges against you?
Well, do you count misdemeanors? Because I don't count misdemeanors.
now you're trying to parcel the law? Yes, we count misdemeanors where there are charges put against you. I'm not saying if they suck or not. I'm just asking the question, were there charges put against you?
But see, this is what I want to talk about, though.
Hold on, no, there's no
but. But let me tell you why. When people cannot control you, when people cannot control you themselves, they enlist other people to try to put control upon you that they can't do themselves. And in this case, the policeman was supposed to put a control on me that my ex-husband, number one, was unable to, do, because he wasn't smart enough to control him. So this is what I'm saying. People, if men cannot control women, they have two or three options. They pop her upside her head. Well, hopefully, the helpful option number one is to walk away. They abandon her and neglect the situation. Number two is they force their physical will upon her and try to force her physically to do whatever it is he wanted to do. And then third is they know that's going to come with a special need ass whooping. They inflict the law or they try to enlist your family against you. They call your mama on you. You know what I'm saying? They call your grandma.
Yo, why are you saying it? Shaking your head with attitude. They call your mama on you, punk ass.
Because it has happened to me. I'm telling you, when you are not a woman that's easily controlled, mind controlled, they have to enlist all these weird behaviors in order to get you to do what you want. Now, one of the most powerful ones is throw cash at you. You know, being good at fostering behavior through a financial, they throw that cash until they have you on your tippy toes. All right, last but not least, they will enlist other people, your mama, an ex-boy. I done seen men holler at women's ex-men and tell them what a bitch she was, and so that he can say, man, you got your man over here calling me, telling me what a bitch you're doing, and see how you treated him just like you treat. Like, I done seen some heinous behavior from men trying to get women to behave just control them in a certain way. And so, why not the law? Why not use the law? Why not use brute force when people are not doing what you say they're supposed to do when you say they're supposed to do it? So, I mean, we look for that behavior in our mate, but it don't pop out like we think. It's a situational thing. You don't know that your man is a sociopathic control freak until one day you step out of line. Then you get to see mayhem rain down.
So let's be clear. So I'm a behave like you behave. So are you telling me that this man was so devious and dubious that he put himself in a situation in which you almost took his life? And that was a part of his grand scheme to have the police then come, put charges on you so that he could control you. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that I was owed a debt and I went to go collect it. And when I went to go collect it, the person got so mad at my collection method that they decided to involve the law. But then didn't even tell. Now, let me tell you how you know this is deep. He called the police, right? But he didn't tell the police exactly what was going down and why I was there. He didn't tell the police he had my $1,000 of my money in there. He didn't tell the police that. But he did tell the police that I poured water in the TV and that I cut the cord on some other shit. He made sure that went in the report. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other part. And this is my new lesson. Now, I told you the lesson before. The lesson is, if you think somebody going to call the police on you, you stay right there. Because when you leave, whatever they say is the truth. If you don't stay and give them your portion of the narrative, when they file whatever, they can file charges just because you wasn't there.
Right. Did you pour water into the TV?
Who, in my TV that I had just bought unknowingly? Yep, I went ahead and poured water in my brand new TV I bought instead of diapers.
And you cut the cord.
He thought I needed a TV, but I needed diapers for his daughter. And so since there was confusion, I went ahead and fixed the confusion.
I love it. All right, so breaking news out of Arizona. A man has killed his wife and three daughters. Now, this is sad for a number of reasons. It's sad because we shouldn't get to this this level at all. It's doubly sad because he left the 3-year-old child alive. So now this child doesn't have her mama, her daddy, nor her siblings. And he accused her of cheating. He returned from the bar, accusing her of cheating. He then shot her to death and then killed, again, 3 of his daughters, leaving the 4th one alive. I've never been to that level, and I really don't know what could get me to that level. I believe that the last option is the best option, which is just leaving. Because, you know, you can stand and fight, you can argue, you can work it out, you can just leave. And if it got to a point where I felt like harming someone physically, or mortally, I should say, I think I would leave. You know, obviously, you're talking about a lot of investment. You have 4 daughters and a wife. However, if whatever has clicked in your head that's making you feel like something ain't right and that you want to harm somebody, I think the best course of action is just to bungee, to leave, to get out of there. This is just tragic, man. It's again, you're talking about a baby girl whom, for all intents and purposes, has lost all her family. All her family. Because, you know, it's Arizona, so daddy going to jail for the rest of his life. Easy. Mama is no longer with us. And again, her 3 siblings, her 3 sisters are gone. So her whole world has changed in a matter of minutes because her dad wanted to be selfish. And he succumbed to his weakness, his insecurities, whatever those are fanned by. But I don't get, well, it's not about I don't get. Everything isn't for me to get. But I don't want to say hopes and prayers. That's it's not appropriate for this, you know. But I am hopeful that this little girl does not shoulder the blame for what happened on herself. I hope she doesn't holster herself. Down with this in the future. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want. I don't want for her to feel like she was to blame for what happened to her mom and her sisters and that become destructive behavior in her life. You know what I'm saying? Not at all. I would not want that for her. I would hope that with the right counseling, with actually some words from her father later in life, she can come to understand that this wasn't on her, and hopefully she doesn't feel guilty that she lived and everyone while everyone else died. You dig where I'm coming from with that, Rashi?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't.
I've talked about this syndrome so many times, bro. You know how many times we talked about what society does to man, what he comes home and does to his wife, and what she does to the oldest child, and how it dominoes to the dog who bites the mailman, right? And so, but then now we can start teasing apart what makes a man snap, I guess. And I think what we need to discuss here is not having one. I talked to my friend about this the other day. Most people are supposed to have one other person who gets the dog honest truth out of them when they want to kill themselves, when they feeling naughty, when they done stole something. You know, if there is not one other human on the planet that knows who you really, really are and what you be up to on a fairly regular basis, you can be a pretend person. You can be an upstanding citizen at work, and then you can be a low down dog when you go to the cockfight after you leave work, and then you leave there to the whorehouse. And then you go from the whorehouse to the gym where you shower and put on your suit, and then you can be a corporate guy. And you know, understand it? If you don't maintain at least one other human, that's what the power of marriage is really supposed to be. Marriage is for you to have one other person that gets the true self of you, right? They supposed to know that you leave hellacious skid marks in your drawers. They know that you have an undercover. You like to decorate flowers on the under. You know that they know that you hate. You know that one of your kids, you love them, but you really don't like them. They know all this. If you don't have that one person, then who are you? Who do you? You get to be whoever you want with whoever you want with. You get to be your mama's favorite son. But you get to be the demon seed with your siblings, and somebody, you know, everybody gets a different you. That's bad. When those people get to fractioning off and they frustrate you because nobody's responding to you the way you want them to, meaning they're not staying faithful to you, they're not paying you as much as you want to, they're not letting you keep your job, they're not falling for your con, then what do? The dude decided to scrap his home life. He cashed out. Now, most people, now think about this cash out process. When you cash out at work, you quit, right? When you cash out at the casino, you turn your chips in, you walk away.
That's it.
When you cash out in romance, usually you can walk away too. But what happened when there's a whole bunch of people looking at you? Because I'm going to tell you, the child support system is federal. You would have to go to Narnia not to pay for them four little girls.
Narnia?
you better go to Never Never. You had to go to Neverland not to pay for them little girls. All right, so
how about
the
R. Kelly
gonna House? Follow you, the debt's going to follow you whether you stay in the home or not. How do you cash out?
But that ain't the way to do it. I mean, cashing out, taking folks' lives, shit, you still owe a debt. Yeah, I prefer to pay the money versus, you know, spending the rest of my life behind bars. That's some bullshit right there. I ain't doing that.
Listen, the debt for four people if they go to college, is 21 years each. Let me say, if he even had a decent job, they average in about, let's say, at least welfare, which is $234 in Missouri, $234 per child. And four, that's a little under, that's a grand a month, right? At least.
Mm-hmm.
A grand a month, $12,000
mm-hmm.
a year. And that's not counting all the lawyer fees. She's going to come. You didn't left her with four kids. She ain't going to leave you with even a blender.
Damn. She taking a blender, yo?
She gonna take the fucking foot warmer machine if she can, just for you getting mad and leaving her with four kids.
Hmm.
All right, so we talking 21 times $12,000. 21 years times $12,000.
I don't care the number. It doesn't nothing.
That
I'll
don't
weigh
count
my
her
freedom.
Alimony. That's the kid's money. That ain't her money.
But nothing outweighs my freedom. I mean, you can make money. Money is replaceable. You don't get that time back. So now you're spending the rest of your life behind bars because you didn't want to kick out some chump change? I mean, seriously, dog? Nah, man, I ain't.
It's chump change to you. It's chump change to you, but to find an extra, let's say, $1,300 a month that don't pay your rent, it don't keep your lights on. It don't feed you or clothe you. It goes straight out of your pocket into somebody else's pocket, $1,300 every month.
Go live with your mama and work it out. Go live with your mama for a year to work it out.
They got with the lady because they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it at mama house no more. That's why they there.
Freak that. I'm not giving up my freedom willingly. You got to do something on the extreme level for me to be like, yeah, fuck that shit. I'm just going to go to jail for the rest of my life. This motherfucker got to go. Seriously, that's a non-starter for me, yo. I ain't giving up my freedom. Not over no punani. No. Okay, so what? She is cheating on you. So work the shit the fuck out. Figure it out. What are we missing? What are we missing? What do we need to do differently? Too many people get stuck on this shit. Okay, look, you wasn't fucking me right. I needed somebody to fuck me right. I got some dick that I needed to get right. I got some pussy I needed to get right. You right. I shouldn't have stepped out here. Let's work this out. Get it together. Or, hey, maybe we need to explore open marriage. It may not need to be all the time, but every now and again, we both need to step out, maybe get a little reset, come back, and go forward. People do it all the time. Stop being so fucking selfish. Stop being so selfish. Shit.
Hey, you didn't tell me you like sloppy seconds.
It's not about, look, we all somebody sloppy seconds. If you weren't a virgin when I met you and I wasn't a virgin when you met me, we all somebody sloppy seconds, dog. Come on now. Let's be real with that. And again, let's stop that madness too, because my ass wasn't pure when you met me and your ass wasn't pure when I met you. Come on now. So, you know, we try to blank that crap out in our heads, you know, especially as a man. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying you giving me as much brain as possible, slobbing me off, sucking me off, blah, blah, blah. I do not allow myself to sit back and be like, oh, yeah, I wonder where she learned that out. I wonder which dude saw that. I don't allow myself to do that. But you didn't just learn that shit this morning. You know what I'm saying? You didn't just learn how to do that in the past 30 seconds. Somebody taught you how to do that. You've mastered that over years. That shit takes practice. You got to learn. You got to learn. Got to, like Bernie Mac, you got to learn. Got to learn. Got to learn. Our freaking ego gets in the way too daggone often. Like,
you
come
think
on,
it's an
go.
Ego matter? I think it's a matter of public safety now. It used to be an ego matter. Yeah, I don't want no man touching on my woman and all that. Now, if you can't enter into a safe contract, a safe sexual contract with somebody, you opening up Pandora's box some information that you didn't think you was ever going to hear. I mean, I tell people all the time, I don't think you want to date me because in order to have sex, our last date before sex is at the free health clinic. And when we get our clearance papers back, then we can enter into a sex act. And then if you don't keep to the contract of keeping an almost exclusive sexual behavior with somebody, you got to at least read their paperwork from who they went, or else you asking for it. I'm sorry, with all this free love and sloppy seconds is asking for trouble.
But there's no such thing as safe sex, yo. I mean, because, okay, I could have something today that I never knew I had, and it may not show up for another 2-3 years. Right? I'm just being real.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just being real. And the person, right. And the person or the persons that you were with for years could be in the same situation. So now all of a sudden you get that phone call. I get that phone call. It's like, oh, shit, well, we've been together for the past 5 years. We've just been going at it. You telling me this shit, like, all right, let me, you know, it's never popped up. I mean, anything can happen, dog. Anything can happen at any time. You lie down with a person, you taking a risk no matter what. you know, condoms slide off, condoms break. I mean, all kinds of shit happens. You know? Some people take condoms off while you up in them. Had that shit happen. You know what I'm saying? And all, man, look.
Wait a minute. Wait, you took it off or she took it off?
She took it off.
She took it off? Willingly?
She took it off. She got,
oh,
she got
wow.
tight.
Wow, that's amazing. She's a crazy. Mm-hmm. She's crazy. When a man put a condom on, you respect that shit. You respect it to the beginning, when my husband would put a condom on, I'd be like, thank you. Thank you. So that way we don't have to worry about nothing in 9 months, 10 months, 12 months. We don't have to look
right.
at each other.
A friend of mine did that for years with his wife. They strapped up religiously, and I was like, dog, what's that all about? He was like, man, we ain't ready for no kids yet. And though we ain't ready for no kids yet, don't mean we gonna stop practicing. I said, I get you, cat. I get you. But yeah. Yep. Man, please. Yeah, you know. Whatever. But yeah, shit. Anything could happen to anybody at any time. You lay down with the person.
I think we need to talk about this as a show. I don't recall us having a STD related show. And I think we could do a lot to work with
we
the
have,
stigmas
we,
of what it means.
We had Andrea on, the young lady from Philly who has HIV, remember?
Okay.
We can definitely do another one. We need to expand it
beyond HIV, expand it into, you know, get some real current data out there on what's being transmitted and what cities are heavy in the paint. And so we can start protecting our listeners as much as possible.
Mhm. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that at all. All
right.
Not at all.
All right, I'll get in the books. I'll get in the books and see what I can do.
Okay. Let's wrap up because, like I said, I got my brother and I'm coming down pretty soon, so I want to make sure I'm fully prepared for them because his ass tried to pop up on the motherfucker early. Family, thank you all for getting involved. Seriously, we posted something about the school lunches, and that thing just took off like high fire, and I appreciate that. You know, wasn't a lot of hits on the Assange arrest. I thought it was going to be bigger, you know, especially with our target audience, but I didn't. But it's odd. Like, when we post some stuff, it just takes off like wildfire. We post other stuff and it's just like it's a complete dud, but the Assange arrest was one of them. What else did we post recently? And I was like, yo, I thought that was going to be fire. Well, hell, the fires in Louisiana, I thought that was going to take off, and that kind of was like a dud as well, but you know, it is what it is.
I mean, people,
you know,
hey, domestic terrorism is such a dumb thing now. They tearing this fucking
right.
country up so bad that it don't move the needle no more. That kind of terror don't.
Right.
Right.
We will stay vigilant in what we do in order to provide you the best information that we can in a timely manner. Again, hopefully I'll feel a hell of a lot better next week. Let me see. So in 2 weeks' time, hold on, what's this week? No, next week, actually. Oh, good Lord. I'll be in Virginia next weekend. because Michelle has a nonprofit. She frees the homeless. So I'll go down in support of that and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that is next weekend. Good Lord. The weekend after that, we'll have a poetry set because this month is National Poetry Month. And we'll iron that out that weekend. And the entrepreneur piece is coming up soon. I know I've been talking about that forever, and it's really an easy thing to do. But other things just have gotten in its way. So Queen hit me off. She said, yo, when we going to do part two of the sex show? So we'll do that pretty soon as well. A lot of good stuff coming. We're getting closer and closer to June. Another big announcement coming in June. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming. So just stay tuned. Keep rocking with us. We appreciate you all for listening live and listening later. I say that all the time because it's true. we appreciate you all for just giving us your time whenever you can, without a doubt. And thank you, Rashi, for doing such a great job last week and a great job in every week, time and time again. I appreciate you, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate your sacrifice.
That was Colonel.
I appreciate your patience.
That was Colonel James Gaddafi, and the guy, for some reason, the other dude who interviewed chooses to go by his internet name. I'm a different tone, but yeah, both of them were on the sides of one side or the other of the prison industrial complex, trying to show what rehabilitation looks like. Like I said on the show, I don't believe that this country believes even in the capability of rehabilitating. So I like to see. I'd like to see that work being done by people. And I want to thank you for including me on this process. And you have to get better, brother. You get better, all right?
Yeah, for real, right? I know I don't sound like myself. I don't even feel like myself. I don't have that energy to really go at it and push like I normally do. So, you know, it's a good thing that we had the show that we had today, because I don't think I would be able to give my all to several guests or anything of that nature, okay? But you all be good. You all be safe. Again, we appreciate you. We love you. Stay easy. Stay safe until next week. Peace!